Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Pastor Troy Gramling leads Potential Church. He is the host of the Troy Gramling podcast, and he is the author of Potential, the Uncontainable Power of God Within You. Welcome to the show, Troy.
Well, it's an honor to be here. Really looking forward to the conversation today.
Yeah, me too. Tell us a little about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, I've been married for 36 years in July.
Amazing.
So, yeah, we got married. My wife was 20. I was 22. And then had our first child 3 years later. And in December and the 1st of January, we had two grandkids. So now we got four, two boys and two girls. And They're all little. And we had three kids. We have a son and then a son. And then our youngest was a daughter. And I was born in Michigan, but Steph and I, my wife, we met in Arkansas, small town. And her dad was a superintendent, and we met there, and then we moved here. We've been here in South Florida for, this will be 25 years in October, so all of our kids have grown up here, and all those kind of things. So anyways, that's kind of my journey. I planned on being a coach. That was played basketball in high school, played in college, overseas just a little bit. And then so I was just planning. That was my direction. Felt a nudge to kind of go in a different direction. And so I have been over probably, I've been in ministry now for over 30 years. Not sure exactly how long, but in that time I was like a part-time student pastor at little tiny churches, they needed some help, and volunteered. And then I've been a pastor at three different churches, a 100-year-old church that we were at for a while. And we started a church there in that little town. And then we came here, and we're going to do a young adult deal. And the pastor had written a book, and he was kind of partnering with a large pastor out in California, Saddleback Church, Rick Warren, The Whole Purpose Driven. Some of your listeners may have read The Purpose Driven Life, And so he kind of talked. He had written a book about how churches can transition, into the purpose-driven model. So he left, and when he did, then he kind of gave me the baton. That was it wasn't why I came here, but and then we've been here ever since. So it's been an incredible journey.
Certainly. And congratulations on 36 years of marriage and a beautiful growing family. And that's a blessing.
Yeah, it's been, it's funny when it gets, that time goes by, nobody thinks they're as old as they are. It's just, it all happens slow in one sense and really quick in another sense, and you look back and you think, wow, just to have been married that long makes you feel aged.
Yeah. And that's life in a lot of ways, kind of moving along. And then all of a sudden things are hastened and things start moving a lot faster. And maybe it's an event of some kind, or just realizing, oh, I'm 40 years old, or I'm 50 years old, or my God, how do I have a kid? Or how is my kid this age? Right. Or how am I getting ready to retire? And then we start to look at kind of inside. And a lot of people, it seems to me from the outside looking in, that more and more people are turning to God, are turning to Christ. I don't know if there's trends or data that kind of support that.
Yeah, they say that, like, last year more Bibles were sold, than have been sold in a really long time. Church attendance has been declining, at least in the U.S., and the last couple of years, there's been a little bit of an uptick in that. So it seems that people are, you know, maybe once again investigating, you know, they've kind of went down a path and maybe it didn't lead to where they were thinking that it would. And as a result, you know, there's another opportunity, you know, to, you know, to share that, the good news with folks and that kind of thing. So there's definitely an interest, you know, and then you kind of see where is that going to go?
I think it's always an interesting thing that we human beings, we need to be reminded more than we need to be sort of informed or instructed, because I think that we all sort of know inherently and have a pull towards a higher power. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to go to church every Sunday, or just because I grew up in the Episcopal Church or the Catholic Church doesn't mean that that still fits. And I'm curious, just it seems to me that the message that organizations like Potential Church and others are offering is just different.
Yeah, I think, you know, there is a clarity, I guess, you know, and a sense of hope for a long time in a lot of people's minds. God, church is all about judgment. You know, and, you know, the truth of God's ultimate judgment is not something I'm afraid of, but there's a lot more there as well. You know, I mean, the whole idea of the law and all the commandments are to remind us that without God, we can't keep them. You know, so they're not so much there to condemn us, but to show us a way of reconciliation, you know, because our first sense is I can do it. You know, I, you know, when you were talking earlier about how sometimes we get to a certain age, and I think a midlife crisis is that sense when you all of a sudden realize that you don't have enough time to accomplish everything you had dreamed of accomplishing. And I think maybe because of circumstances that can happen earlier in somebody's life, maybe their illness or some kind of tragedy. But for everybody, they kind of reach that age and they're like, I was going to be a millionaire, you know, and they're still a middle manager and they're 45 or 50. And they're like, you know, because when you're young, you know, time kind of gives you that sense of anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of get to that age where you're like, I don't have enough time. And I think maybe even as a society, we kind of get to that point where we realize I don't have the ability. And it's like, where do you turn then? You know, that's like whether it's a midlife crisis or whether it's, you know, something that happens in our lives and we realize, you know, I can't do this. This disease is not something I can will away. You know, I might be able to will myself to get up and go to the gym in the morning, but, you know, this diagnosis is beyond me. And I think that's when we start looking for answers, you know, that can make a difference and can impact our lives. And, you know, to me, it's just trying to remind folks that the scripture, that Christ is a message of hope. You know, he even says, you know, he didn't come in. You know, everybody knows maybe John 3:16, where it says, you know, God loved the world. He sent his son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but everlasting life. But the very next verse is like, God didn't come to condemn the world. You know what I mean? We already know in and of ourselves, we're limited, you know, and that we fall short, but he came to rescue us. And sometimes that message gets lost. You know, we see so much, sometimes evil and pain and hurt. And we talk a lot about the judgment side sometimes, or at least people have that in their mind. Maybe that's what gets put out on TV and all those kind of things. But, you know, there's a lot of, it's, you know, hope. I mean, that's the whole real message. That's why Jesus came. That's the message that he gave. And, you know, sometimes, you know, sadly, maybe it gets lost in all that gets, you know, a lot of words get said at churches, you know, throughout mm-hmm. the years.
I think that that's really well said. And people are looking for, I think you said it really well. We are meaning seeking creatures, sometimes engaged in meaningless work. If I'm that middle manager and just like, oh my gosh, how did it work out like this? I thought it was going to be so much different. I've been doing everything that I thought that I could and everything that I have been able to do, but still not, it's still not clicking. There's still something that's missing. So that message of hope, and what is that mean? Hope for what?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of things. I mean, you know, ultimately, redemption, eternity, you know, forgiveness of sins. But also, I think, you know, even as a middle manager, you might say, you know, I think perspective has a lot to do with it, because we downplay the impact of our life. You know, one of the things the scripture says is that we were all created. You know, I love David says, you know, you created me, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Well, if that's the case, then, you know, if we were created for significance, we were created for greatness, then even though I'm a middle manager, or maybe I'm at the bottom of the rung of the ladder, you know, the corporate ladder.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And so because we're judging our success or our purpose or our meaning, sometimes, you know, I'm the wrong thing, you know, because my bank account's not what I would want it to be. And I don't, you know, everybody's wearing suits and I'm not important enough to wear a suit or, you know, but I think if we start to think about every day, we have the opportunity to make a real impact on the lives of the people around us. I mean, and that is an incredible power if you think about it. And the more we're connected with people, the more opportunity we have. You know, sometimes it maybe it's just the clerk at wherever, you know, we go for our coffee or where we buy our shirts or whatever, but we have an opportunity. You know, that person, that single mom, that single dad, or they're going through some kind of something with their teenager, and they're on the edge of making a wise decision or a bad decision, and just being able to come in and being inspirational in that moment can have a huge impact, not only on their life, but if they're a parent, on the life of their kids. If you lead people, you know, if you're a middle manager and you lead five or six people, if you really think about John Wooden, he made a statement. You know, he was a great basketball coach, won 10 championships in college, maybe the greatest basketball coach that ever lived. And he said that you have to make a choice. He said you can leverage young men to build a great basketball team, or you can leverage basketball to build great young men. And I think that is, I've got that on the wall of my kind of office area. I put it in the context of ministry, you know, because even as a pastor, I can leverage ministry to build people, or I can leverage people to build a ministry. And that's never going to be fulfilling. You know what I mean? Because there's always a better basketball team. There's always a larger church. There's always somebody with more money. There's always a bigger company. But if we go to work every day, or we look at our family and we think, how can I leverage what has to be done today to make a difference in the lives of these people? That's incredibly fulfilling. Whether you're the middle manager, or you're the CEO, or, you know, you're just the one that is, you know, cleaning somebody's pool. And because we all have that power. And the more we are aware of that, the more we can develop ourselves to be more effective at actually making a difference in people's lives. And I think that can give a real sense of purpose and meaning. And and again, it's not that success or all that stuff is bad. It's just that in and of itself, it's never going to be satisfying. You know, there's always going to be just a little bit more that we think we could get to make us happy, to make us feel a sense of fulfilled. You know, we see people all the time that, you know, when I look at them, I think, man, I wish I had that problem. You know what I mean? And yet they're unhappy. And so it's like, so that can't be it. And so I think it really is, how do we get beyond ourselves? And I think, you know, that's what Jesus and his followers, you know, proclaimed over and over again, that it's about something greater than ourselves. And only in that do we find a sense of purpose and meaning and you know, and you're developing as you do that. So, you know, I know for me, and I have to remind myself of that, you know, especially today. We live in a victimhood kind of society. And so it's so easy for me to think about how miserable my life is and how unfair my life is and how nobody appreciates me. That's never led to me being happy. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I'm not like, wow, that's a great day. You know, I'm just more depressed at the end of the day than I was at the beginning of the day. But if I go into the day thinking, you know, how can I positively impact the lives of the people around me and the ones that are around me on a consistent basis, my family, the folks I work with, you know, the places that I frequent, so I can even, you know, go further in helping to mentor, disciple, you know, whatever word that you want to use, for them as they become. And then you get to celebrate their success as well, as opposed to being, you know, jealous of it or, so when you ask, you know, what is hope? I mean, I think ultimately hope is life in Christ and the forgiveness that he gives us, but that he also models, you know, this life that he's, you know, he gave. I mean, that's the whole message. He gave it. Why? For us, you know. He, in Hebrews, it says he endured the cross for the joy that was on the other side, you know, and what was that joy was reconciliation with his creation. So there's joy and endurance when it's for someone beyond, beside ourselves, if that makes any sense.
I think it makes all the sense. I wrote down the problem of earthly abundance, that it's really great that I don't have to worry about food. It's really great that I don't have to worry about shelter. Our country's not at war, at least here in the United States. And so I'm very fortunate, yet still not enough. And it's not going to get me to where I want to go. It's just going to kind of leave me feeling empty. So where is that hope? And where's the realization that there's more available to me? And it is through the message you've been talking about.
Yeah, I think it's so important to be able to step back and come to that realization, you know, and it's a hard one to come to, right? I mean, because all the marketing, everything tells us, you know, if I just had that, I would be fulfilled, you know, because we're all really looking for the same thing. We're looking for a sense of fulfillment. We're looking for a sense of happiness. And then in order to sell things, people are trying to market to us what can bring that, you know, about. And, you know, that's why the message of Christ and the message of the church, you know, is not necessarily we are proclaiming what people are looking for. It's just not the path they want to go down. And so it makes it, challenging in sharing that, not in being afraid to share it, but just like, how do I share that in such a way that people understand that it's going to lead to where they want, to where they desire to go. But the path is, you know, when the people of God, I think you even talk about it in the book, the people of God, you know, they were enslaved for over 400 years in Egypt. You know, Moses comes and he rescues him. And that's a whole, you know, if you've never read the story, your listeners, it's a great story, the plagues and all of that. And then they leave. Right. Finally, Pharaoh's like, all right, get out of here. You know, and it's an amazing story because the Egyptians give them their designer clothes. They give them their gold. They give them their silver. And some of the Egyptians are so pumped up. There's so much momentum behind, you know, the Hebrews at this time that some of them join them. So they take off. And then the Bible says this. It says God took them the roundabout way. You know, there was a shorter route, but God led them the roundabout way in preparation for what he had in front of them. And it's that roundabout way that it's not always the, we know it in the physical realm, right? We know no pain, no gain, but when it comes to, the spiritual realm, when it comes to even personal growth, we tend to reject that idea. You know, we want to get there, you know, as soon as possible. And yet the roundabout way has a lot to provide us along the way.
Yeah, I think I intellectually understand that more pain leads to a gain, or no pain, no gain kind of a thing. But I don't necessarily really want that. If I can take a pill to get there quick, then I'm probably more interested in that. So.
Yes. Well, you know, even Jesus, when he was getting ready to go to the cross, he said, you know, Father, if there any other way, let this cup pass from me, you know. So, you know, the idea of, you know, and he said in Hebrews, like I said, he endured the pain. So it's even Jesus himself wasn't like, you know, this is, you know, a great day. You know, the Jesus' brother James talks about being able to have joy in the trials because of what they'll accomplish. But that takes so much intentionality, right? I mean, you're in the midst of some kind of challenge, and to be able to intentionally stop and say, ask ourselves, what am I learning? How am I growing? How is God being faithful? Why is this, you know, to walk through that as opposed to just get through the day, you know? And so I think, you know, that's where journaling and these kind of conversations and stuff are important, because they allow us to reflect on, you know, actually what's happening, so that we grow through the process.
And that growth through the process, certainly I know it to be true in a lot of domains in my life, that when I do invest, I will get the outcome. And there have been plenty of times in my life that I have made that investment and it's been fugazi. It hasn't actually worked out. So we need to trust that if I do, for lack of a better term, surrender, if I do invest, if I do follow the teaching and the word, that the payoff's going to be there.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the difference between succeeding and failing is perseverance. I mean, I believe, like what David said, God intentionally knit me together in my mother's womb to do something of significance, right? I feel like there's a purpose that before I was ever physically on this planet, I was in the mind and heart of God. So that I'm intentional. With such, I mean, that thought itself would kind of blow your mind. God didn't wait till I was born and then say, what are we going to do with this one? Look, he's got this, you know, because that's the way we operate. So if I'm intentional, right, then that means that I can succeed. You know, I can, you know, accomplish what I was put here, what I was created to accomplish. But I have to persevere. Again, the people of God, they leave, right? They go the roundabout way. They get to the Red Sea. So now they're, and, you know, they're not sure that Moses has done a good thing by camping at the Red Sea. Then they look up and it says, you know, they freak out because one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful army in the world, Pharaoh's changed his mind. And he's bearing down on top of them. And they start doing, you know, I should have never moved here. I should have never left that job. I should have never, you know, got into this relationship. I should have never, right? They start doubting themselves. They start doubting all their decisions. And so they go, you know, they're complaining to Moses, why'd you bring us out here? I knew this was going to happen, you know. And then Moses goes to God and he's like, God, you know, what's up? I mean, you know, we endured slavery. We endured the plague. We went through all this. And I love God's response, because God says, why are you complaining to me? Get going. And I think what God is saying to them is, look, I told you, I'm going to take you to the promised land, and I keep my word. You're seeing the circumstances, and you're allowing the circumstances to determine your faith or your confidence that you're going to arrive there. And it's like God is saying, I don't know why, I already told you. You know, it's kind of like when our kids, if you got kids and you're going on a trip and they're, are we there yet? Are we going to get there? Is that we ever, it's like, I said, we were going to Disneyland. We're going to Disneyland. We're going to get there. Just because you don't understand why we had to stop and get gas or charge the battery on the car, whatever it is. And I think that's what God was saying to them. Why are you doubting me? Right. And he says, just get going. And sometimes I think that's the most spiritual thing we can do, is just take one more step, you know, just get going, or keep going, keep walking. And because God's, you know, he's made the promise. He's told us that there's purpose and meaning to life, and that ultimately, right, it's eternity with him. But he said in John, you know, the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came that you could have life and have it abundantly, you know, here on the planet and eternally. So he's already told us, you know, that we just have to continue to take that next step. And the good news is, listen, you know what? I can't necessarily figure out how to cross a Red Sea, but I can take one more step. And sometimes I don't know how I'm going to meet this financial challenge that's in front of me, or, you know, how I'm going to deal with this upset person or this angry situation, but I can get up tomorrow and I can take the next step, you know, and not give up and not walk away. And, you know, even though everything inside of me wants to do that some days. And I just think that's so important for us to remember, you know, is on the most difficult and challenging days that any of us have, the most important thing we can do is to persevere, you know, is to take that next step.
Amen. Troy, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and where can they learn more about Potential Church, and where can they get their copy of Potential, The Uncontainable Power of God Within You?
Yeah, my name, Troy Gramling, all the social media stuff is there. The book is on Amazon, Walmart, it's on all the things. Amazon's probably maybe the best place to get it. And then if they want to hear like the teachings on the weekend and stuff, it's Potential Church. You know, same thing. All the handles are either Potential Church or my name. But stop by and say hello.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Pastor Troy your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to potentialchurch.com. Check out everything that Troy is working on and teaching. Pick up your copy of Potential, The Uncontainable Power of God Within You on Amazon. And you can find Troy all over social media, just like the rest of us. And I'll link those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Troy.
Oh, it's a great honor.
And finally, until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No